pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody, to a very rainy day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We had a cell that hit us yesterday, and we had another one this morning. I went through some pretty heavy rain driving over here to the basically the east edge of the big airport. And I don't know if we've got more in store or not. Whatever your weather is out there, though, we can chat about gardening and landscaping and anything you'd like to discuss. I have a few things on my agenda I want to talk about, and then we'll work in callers as soon as you want to start chatting. So give me a buzz. Telephone number is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-DIRT. And this hour is brought to you, I'll start with here, by the dog food manufacturer from Mount Pleasant, Texas, although they're serving areas across the country now, and that's expanding. It's Victor Pet Foods. VictorDogFood.com is the website. I recommend you go there and check it out. They have a lot of choices. They all have a common theme. None of their dog food and cat food choices have any wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and that's a good thing. None of them have chemical preservatives, nothing. They don't have chemical preservatives in their plant, and that's a really big thing. And then they also have some products that are completely grain-free, and a lot of people are going that route, including us. That's what our dogs have been eating. So give it a shot. It's Victor Pet Foods. A lot of different choices, too. They have a wide range. The one we're doing now is a salmon-based product. It's really good. I'm low. I need to go get some more. I may try one of the other. I think this is the third one I've tried so far. The dogs have liked them all. Probably try another one just to see. Related to the water, it got me thinking about one thing that I wanted to chat about a little bit. It continues to be an issue, and it hit me upside the head driving to the station this morning how hard it is to completely do the right thing in this regard, and that is to leave sprinkler systems on off, not on automatic. It's such a paradigm in the irrigation business to set up a regular schedule of whatever it is, once a week, twice a week, three times a week, twice a day, 10 minutes a day. I mean, you see all these different schedules for irrigation, and I don't like any of those unless it's going to be a very rare situation where you're going to be out of town and there's nobody that can help you and that sort of thing. But if you're in town, irrigation systems need to be put on off so that when they run, they only run when you push the button. And if they're on off and you push the button to fire it to a manual start, most all irrigation systems, in fact, all of them these days, I'm sure the controllers will cycle through the schedule and water each section, whatever you have set, and then it'll stop. It won't come on again until you push the button. Company I work with and have for some time here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is King Lawn Sprinkler, and we've just done quite a bit of work at the house. One of the problems that we had there was that we had extremely high pressure. We're on a cul-de-sac, and we're the lowest point on the cul-de-sac. And so we're at the lowest point of the water line that's coming around to serve the houses, and thus our pressure has been off the charts. You can turn on the hose in the front yard, or used to be able to, and blow a hole in a concrete almost. It's pretty amazing. But anyway, they put in a big pressure-reducing valve, and yeah, you can do that if you have too high a pressure. I guess you can boost it the other way with pumps if you have too low a pressure, but reducing it with high pressure does something that we should have done a long time ago. Our nozzles would fog quite a bit, and that wastes water. You want the nozzles to put out decent droplets of water, and now they do. But one of the properties, another property that we are involved with, I passed this morning, and the sprinklers were running. And it just shows you, no matter how good the irrigation company is, you have to make sure you recommend to them, demand to them, and be consistent about it every time you have some work done. Because the irrigation companies have a mindset, because the customers, for the most part, think that's what they should have and demand it, to set those sprinkler controllers on automatic. And if you do that, you're going to be watering when it's raining, just like I saw this morning. So more than once on the way here, by the way. But it's a tough one. It's one we just kind of have to continue to hammering away on. It's kind of like continuing to talk about stop over-pruning trees and get the soil and the mulch off the flares of the trees. It's one of those things where there's just some real common sense as to what to do, but the paradigm for so long has been the other way in the landscape and nursery industry and from homeowners and everything. It just takes over and over and over and over talking about it to get it to the point where it should be. Maybe you never get it perfect, but we can try to get it as close as we can. If I haven't looked at it, but I think I punched the right button to post it on Facebook this morning. I added something that happened last night, and also suggested that I would talk about some posts that I had done earlier in the week. We have a project going on at the house, a new landscape project. I put two shots, just kind of little teaser shots, on there a few days ago. One of them, a new stone walkway and sitting area by our koi pond, so we can have a place on hard surface to sit out there and enjoy the fish, feed the fish, and all that kind of thing. And then a walkway across to the dog run. Also, this stone walkway separates now two grass areas, and I have planted two grasses I've never grown before. One is a St. Augustine grass called Palmetto, which has become pretty popular, and I wanted to have it to test myself and to show people. And then on the other side, toward the back of the property, toward the bamboo forest, we planted one of the zoysias that has been has become real popular here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that's El Toro. Tropical John and his guys are doing the building of this forest. I'm kind of halfway between. And I put a shot of the stone going in and made a comment that it's being set on decomposed granite, and decomposed granite is what's going in the joints. And there were some questions about that. Some people thought that I didn't approve of decomposed granite in this way for some strange reason, but I do. I love it. I think it's great. You have to be a little bit careful when you buy decomposed granite, for those of you in areas where it's available, and it's available through the South pretty well. Don't know about in the North. There's probably something similar, some ground-up volcanic material, some kind of rock, indigenous rock that can be used the same way. But we don't like sharp sand, concrete sand, the real super cheap sand that's used on building sites that's kind of an orange color. It's the least expensive one of all. All those have some issues, don't stay in place very well, and all that kind of thing. So we've used lava sand, and we've used decomposed granite. We've used various kinds of things, but I kind of like this decomposed granite the best. The thing there that's tricky is if you're going to put stone on sand, not on a concrete base and not mortared in, which we do have too. If you've seen pictures, I put pictures of our garden on the website all the time, and you'll see pictures around the swimming pool. That's similar stone, but it's set on concrete and mortared in. Very different than putting it on sand and having that softer kind of a feel. But the key, I think, in both cases, but especially if you're putting it on sand, is for the stone pieces to be as large as possible for two reasons. One is just the look, the design aspect of it. It looks far better. That actually is three, I guess. Two is benefit in having chairs and tables on this terrace or patio or paving system. The larger the stones, the easier it's going to be to have flat surfaces and have not have the furniture moving around and that sort of thing. And then the last thing is just having the stones be stable, staying in place properly. One thing that happens when you use very large stone that are 3-4 feet in diameter, they'll be thicker too. And as a result, you just have a much more stable stone. A little harder to find, a little more trouble to get the big pieces in the first place and cut them to fit and all that, but it's the way to go. And we're going to show you pictures of all that as we go. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. But did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body. And elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth. Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth. Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Howard, back with you. I'll finish talking about that project. There's a whole other part of it that's related to a nearby tree. But first, I need to, before I forget it, tell you about the dog at the SPCA, part of Victor Pet Foods report. There is a cutie available for you here at the SPCA in Dallas. And good news from last week, Strawberry was adopted. Really appreciate that. This one's Logan, believe it or not, the name of my daughter. Adorable one-year-old, 45-pound Kelpie mix, looking for a lovely home. Kelpie, it's a new term for me. He's quite the love bug, enjoys receiving plenty of head pats and belly rubs. Why don't you come in here and show him some. During that time, he loves to chase tennis balls, play tug-of-war, roll around in nice, cool grass. He'll make an excellent family pet, already mastered loose leash walking and returning to your side when called. He likes treats. Sounds like he's a great dog. He's great looking. So check out Logan. I assume it is a male. I think it said he. But anyway, there's boy and girl Logans, obviously. Check out the SPCA button on our website on dirtdoctor.com, and you can see this pet. We try to help at least one a week, and this looks like a good one for you. Wherever you are in the country, help out the rescue organizations. It's just a great way to get a good pet. Ann has been holding for a while, so I'm going to go ahead and talk to her, and then I'll finish a couple of other things that I was going to bring up with you. Ann, in Combine, Texas, what's up?
Well, we had two Schumert, I think it's Schumert oak trees planted last year. They're about 2 inches in diameter.
Red oaks, okay.
And last 3 weeks, about 3 weeks, one has started, the leaves have started turning yellow and then brown, and they're dying and they're blowing off, and there's sap pouring out of the trunk. And where the sap's coming out, there's white gook. The other one is doing fine right now. The only difference is the one that is distressed has a lot of ant spite. And, of course, we're in the sandy soil.
Well, the ants are just attracted to the sugars in the sap and all that. They're not doing any damage. Did you plant these trees, Ann, or did somebody plant them for you?
We had them planted.
Okay. The first thing to look at always is were they planted properly? Were they balled in burlap or out of containers?
They were out of containers.
Okay. Did they soak them in water and treat the root system in any way at all before they planted them?
Honestly, I don't remember. The council just out there planting them, and I don't remember seeing it, but it may have happened.
Okay. We don't have a very good connection, so I'm not hearing you that well. But here's the things that I would recommend that you do. This one is in stress for some reason. It could be having what's called slime flux. It could be having some borers in that trunk. In either case, here's what I want you to do. And you can take pictures of this and send them to me at info@dirtdoctor.com, and maybe I'll see something else. But the first step is to rake the mulch, if they put mulch over the root ball, away from it. And you can do that best with a real hard brush. You can use hard tools. I do it. In fact, I'm going to tell you about a project where I did use some hard tools for a while. But you have to be extremely careful if you use hard tools to remove the mulch in the soil, not to injure the flare. So the best thing to do would be to use some kind of a brush and brush the soil and everything away. We want to make sure that flare is dramatically exposed. It's part of the trunk. It's not part of the root system.
Okay.
And most trees are planted too deeply in the ground. And this may go for the one that you say looks good, too. You know, sometimes the problems only show up down the road. But if they're too deep in the ground, they're going to have some issues at some point in time. So that's step number one. Number two, get some orange oil and mix it with water. In this case, I'd mix it pretty strong. I'd mix you know, like a cup per gallon, or you can even mix it as strong as 50-50 orange oil with water. Paint it on the trunk and clean the trunk up. If you have time to make what's called the tree trunk goop, you can smear it on the area where there's bleeding going on. Tree trunk goop is equal amounts of compost, soft rock phosphate, and diatomaceous earth. And you smear it on, and if it washes off or rain knocks it off and into the soil, you just reapply it. It makes good fertilizer as it goes into the soil. And that'll take care of the kind of the major issues that may be there. Now, I was answering a question for somebody this week that came in. It said their oak leaves were burning on the lower limbs. Is that the case with your tree, or is it all over the tree?
It's all over the tree.
All over the whole tree? Okay. When, just for people that might be in that other category, if you have lower limbs that are tending to be the ones that are burning, it's usually an irrigation water hitting those limbs, and the irrigation water is a little salty. I see it up around Lake Texoma on golf courses and parks and residential areas and everything up there. It's fairly salty water, and so that can be a very common thing. Adding organic materials, whether it's compost tea or the entire Garrett juice to the mixture and spraying, is a great help in negating that. In your case, you may just have some stress from being burned by the weather because the tree obviously is in some stress. So if you do the things that we talked about to expose the flare and paint that wounded area on the trunk and stick with the organic program, I think your trees will probably be fine.
I appreciate it.
Okay, and I'll put you on hold if you had something else. I kind of rushed you. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. My tea's pretty good this morning. It's hibiscus fennel, bronze fennel in this case, and peppermint, a lot of peppermint, big handful, and honey. And it's pretty good, pretty tasty tea. Give that one a try. Open lines for you as I finish up with some things I need to do here, and then we'll chat about whatever you'd like to chat about. Call me at 866-444-3478. The rest of the project that you may have already seen on Facebook, I put a picture of the stone and also a picture of a tree, and it's a tree that's near where this stonework we're doing is. It's in the backyard, and it's kind of a famous tree in a weird sort of way. It's a tree that I've been wanting to get rid of for a long time. My wife loves it, and so guess who won that debate? For a long time, I have been avoiding dealing with the issue that it was too deep in the ground because I didn't really want it to stay there. It's crowding the ginkgo a little bit is one of the issues. And if it were gone, we'd have a little bit more sunlight in the area and could do a little bit more with perennials. But she likes the dark shape of the trunk, and it really does look pretty with the bamboo and the big bay in the background and all that. So I bit the bullet and said, well, if we're going to keep it, it's going to be healthy. And so we did the exposure of the flare, and it's deep. It's about 15 inches, you'll see, and you can tell fairly well by the shot, the angle that it's a shot that we took a lot of soil off of it, and there's a big hole left there. And there's a couple of things. One is we've got electrical. In fact, there's more than the you see in the shot. There's some old electrical. There's some new lighting. Unique Lighting does all my lighting, and I'll get them to clean it up. They've got a new technique now of how they kind of gather all of the stuff together into a neater package at the base of the trees than we used to have to do. And so it'll all be cleaned up, and we'll show you that photograph from all the way around. And then the next issue is, what do we do with the depth, with this hole? The grass that you see in the shot is the El Toro zoysia, and it goes right up to the edge. I first thought I'd just leave it open like that, and we'd see what happens and let the flare fill out and continue to monitor it. But I may do something a little more fancy. I may design and build a grate to go over it that will be light enough, a wrought iron type of grate that will go over it and can be placed probably in two halves that can be removed easily to get down in there to get debris out or work on the lighting connections, whatever you need to do. And then over the years, the flare will fill out. We've uncovered some trees that have been 5 and 6 feet in the ground. In fact, there's the one really famous one in Waco that's 10 feet in the ground that the owner uncovered uncovered themselves. But generally, when you're uncovering a flare that's 6 to 12 inches in the ground, or even 15, which is probably pretty close to what ours is, it's probably going to be pushing 14, 15 inches deep. You end up with a hole there. So what do you do? And people ask me, can you put in mulch? The answer is no. Can you put in rock or gravel? And the answer is no. And the reason for that is that if you do that, you just kind of recreate the problem. You put something else besides soil on the flare that holds the moisture against the flare, collects debris, builds up soil again, and sooner or later you end up with the same problem you had to begin with. So the only real solution is to leave that flare exposed to the air completely. And if it's deep, you have to put something on the surface to, you know, make it look better, keep people from falling in if it's really deep and all that sort of thing. But the point is, I will be taking photographs, have been, of the whole process, and you'll be able to see what we have done and what we are going to do to this project. And I think it'll help some of you to figure out what to do with your trees, because invariably people are surprised at how dramatic and how aggressive you need to be taking that soil out around the flare to do it right so that the tree is healthy. The reason it's important is the flare is part of the trunk, and the flare, the trunk needs to breathe. It's designed to be exposed to air and protect the tree. And that breathing allows the tree to be healthy and grow properly. When soil or mulch is up on the flare, a lot of times the tree will live for a long time, but it won't grow very much. It'll grow very, very small amounts, be very lethargic. It will be in stress, so it will be subjected, can be sensitive to attacks by insects and diseases and various other things. And finally, some rot can start. And we have a little bit of evidence of that trying to get started at the base of this tree because it's been so deep. The only thing that has protected it probably, and I see this a lot, is that our soil is pretty good topsoil in this case, because it looks like the backyard area was filled on a little bit. And then you get down into the native soil, which is a little bit of black soil and then broken caliche type white rock under that. And that drains really well. So that tree hasn't had wet feet. It's drained pretty well through the years. In fact, when we bought the house, there wasn't even a sprinkler system there. Where you really get in trouble is where you have the heavy soils, but it applies to sandy soils too, but especially clay soils that hold moisture a long time. It'll take trees out that are too deep in the ground in a pretty short period of time. Where we've uncovered big trees and they've been doing fairly well prior to the uncovering, in almost every case, there's broken limestone rock here in the south where we have the limestone-based rock. There's been a lot of rock in the soil, thus providing the drainage that's needed. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. You can see some of the shots on Facebook now. Go to facebook.com/thedirtdoctor, and we'll talk about that more. One more quick thing, and then we'll go back to the phones here, 866-444-3478. I also put on Facebook a shot of me holding a handful of habaneros, which several people are indicating that I'm nuts to do. But my point was that I know not to do it, but I'm too lazy sometimes. I decided to cut up a little bit of habanero pepper to put in a dish I made last night, which was Swiss chard and okra. Judy ate a little bit of it, but she said that it needed to have some hot. So I thought, well, I had those habaneros from our garden at the office. So I cut up a little bit off the end, holding them barehanded, and put it in there and washed my hands really well and had dinner. Well, later, obviously, I touched my left cheek with that same hand. By the time I went to bed, it was burning pretty bad, and I had a little bit of a hard time getting to sleep. And everybody's giving me a hard time on Facebook, deservedly so, about when you handle habaneros, and I probably won't next time I handle them. But if you're smart, you'll put on latex gloves or some kind of protection. Even if you can stand eating really hot stuff, the habanero has a heat associated with it that if you get in your eyes, it's not a good thing. And one person's already suggested on the Facebook that his story was that he did the same thing I did and then had to go to the restroom. And that's even a worse situation. So anyway, habaneros are wonderful. Flavor's great. It's super. But even those of you that like really hot peppers, it's especially hot. I think there's maybe one that's even hotter. It's ridiculous. This habanero has something like 350,000 Scoville units. A jalapeno has about 20,000. So that's the difference you're talking about, you know, more than 10 times. And so you can burn yourself. It's dangerous to handle and mishandle, especially if you have tender skin and that sort of thing. But if you use it in food, cut it up finely and use very small amounts, the flavor is absolutely my favorite flavor of peppers, but it is so hot you need to be careful with it, as I learned once again the hard way. Telephone number 866-444-3478. Sandy in Brooks, Georgia, next up. Hi, Sandy.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
I'm in Georgia and have acidic soil, but I want to put out some blueberries this winter.
All right.
And if you recommend it, I'd like to do it without using peat moss.
Well, that's what I'd recommend. Some of the people that we've actually worked with have gone ahead and done the peat moss because, you know, everybody else in the world recommends it. But if I were planting some, I would use compost instead of peat moss. I'd use a lot of it. I'd use green sand. And I don't know in Georgia if you'll have that easily available or not. It's not as important for you in your sandy acid soil as it would be for us here in Texas, except for East Texas, where we have similar soil to what you have. But
right.
You do need some rock powder in there. You'll have granite sand, obviously, available all over the place there, and that's what a lot of your base soil is. But I would use the formula, whichever formula you're going to use, and most of them for blueberries recommends, you know, 75%, 80% peat moss as a start, and we'll do the same thing with compost. The only thing you have to be careful about is it needs to be well composted, finished compost. If it's still breaking down and you do a deep bed with a whole lot of compost, it might have too much heat for the blueberries root system.
Okay.
So make sure it's really good, or you put it in the beds and leave it in place for a while before you plant.
How about elemental sulfur as something to lower the pH with the rock powders?
Well, now your pH is probably going to be pretty low there in Georgia, isn't it?
It runs about 6, but I was worried with the compost that would take it up closer to neutral.
It will maybe move it a little bit that way, so that's not a bad idea. What you might want to do is, you're going to do a big planting or just kind of a small garden area?
I'm going to start with 4 to 6 this winter and then see how they thrive and do the same for the next 2 winters probably.
Okay. Well, mixing a little sulfur in would be fine. You want to be very careful not to use too much. It's one of those things that a little bit stimulates biological activity and good things, and a little bit too much really starts causing some problems, and too much sterilizes the soil. So sulfur's always one of those, any single element, you have to be careful like that. I think the ideal thing for you to do, Sandy, would be to make this mixture of your compost and rock powders and other amendments, and send a sample to somebody like Texas Plant Soil Lab in Edinburgh, Texas, and let's just see what you've done to the pH. pH needs to be down, you know, pretty low, around 5 or so for blueberries.
I was going to start with a soil test from Texas Plant and Soil Lab. You think I should send
Let me put
before?
You on hold for a minute. I got to run, and then we'll talk some more. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com.
You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard's back with you. I just found out something interesting. It's going to be real easy for you to call in today, more so than ever, because our local station downstairs has been knocked out by the weather and not on. So, they can't be listening to what we're talking about right now. So give us a call, and easy to get in at 866-444-3478. Sandy agreed to hang around because I want to talk about this just a little bit more. Sandy and I were talking about blueberry bed preparation. You said that you have sent a sample in to get a soil test.
I've done a couple for my vegetable garden, which is about 100 feet away on the same 5-acre property. So I know my base pH is around 6.1.
Okay. All right, but you haven't even prepared it yet, so you haven't tested the mixture. What I would recommend that you look at is a couple of things. I'd recommend using the compost instead of peat moss, and you could do a test and do both and see which way works best for you, I guess, but I would just go the compost route. And sulfur is a tricky thing. If you use sulfur to help get that pH down to between 4 and 5, which is what blueberries need, a quick search on the internet, you'll find people that are still recommending synthetic fertilizers recommend rates that are something like 1 pound of sulfur per 50 square feet. You may have run into that already. I think that's too high. I think right. You can do some damage. It rates that high. If you take what we recommend to use as sulfur on a acreage basis or on a 100,000 square foot basis, we recommend 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet, and you take that down and you get down to about a half a pound per 100 square feet. And so that's what I would start with. And then if you needed to take it on down lower, there's a couple of things you could do. You could add a little bit more sulfur and always mix it in. Don't just leave it right on the surface. Or you can use vinegar. Apple cider vinegar will take the pH down more efficiently and effectively and quicker than anything you can do. It doesn't last quite as long. But what we have done with other blueberry growers is we have encouraged them, and they've done it, used the Garrett juice mixture on the foliage and as a drench in the soil on a very regular basis, anywhere from every week to every 2 weeks. and then the you know, the vinegar in the Garrett juice might be enough to lower it to where you want. If it's not, you can do vinegar by itself, you know, at a half an ounce to an ounce per gallon of water in addition to the Garrett juice.
Okay, so you would suggest mixing all this up with my native soil and then send the sample to Texas Plant and Soil Lab?
Yeah, it needs to have some native soil in it, I think, because you want to inoculate with the native microbes and that sort of thing, but it should be a pretty small percentage, almost like preparing an azalea bed. And and they should be raised as well. If the native soil makes up as much as 20%, I think that's more than enough.
Okay.
Yeah, the rest.
I didn't realize I'd be taking that much soil out of the hole in this case.
Well, I really don't want you to take it out. I want you to go up.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, make it a raised bed, and play around with it a little bit. But somewhere, you know, your soil is real sandy, so, and it's also a lot lower pH than what we have, so you might be able to use a higher percentage than that, maybe 50-50.
Well, where we are, we have a little bit of topsoil that is sandy, but then we have a lot of red clay underneath that.
Right. Well, the clay as a base down there is fine, but that's another reason we want it to be a raised bed. We want to have moist beds, but we also want to have really good drainage. That's what blueberries love.
Yeah.
And then your fertilization program, I'd recommend one dry fertilization a year, probably early in the season, you know, February or something like that, to get it off and started. And then once things are growing, use the Garrett juice as the fertilizer in the soil and on the foliage. A second dry fertilizer application, you might toy with just to, you know, push production even a little more, but you may not have to do that.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll get to work.
One more quick thing, though, just popped into my feeble brain. What's your water like?
I was going to send a sample to TPSL. It is somewhat acidic.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what we want, because here people can improve their beds, the soil, and then keep watering with alkaline or salty water and just foul up the whole system and, you know, crash and burn. So yours is probably fine, but getting the test just to make sure it would be good. And then, like I said, when you're doing a lot of your watering, you're going to be having Garrett juice in the mixture. Make it yourself. You know, you use one of the commercial ones.
Right.
If you don't use the Garrett Juice Pro, I would recommend that you purchase some mycorrhizal fungi and bacteria from somebody like BioSI or somebody with a quality product to add to it.
Yeah, we make that all ourselves.
Okay, great.
All in your recommendations for many years.
All right, super.
All right, thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it. Check in with us again. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and we got some open lines for you today. You got some lightning. I saw gigantic lightning strikes driving over here to the station this morning, so I'm not too surprised that we got knocked out with the local bunch here. We are streamed online all hours, and you can check that out. We also have an app, and you can use that if all else fails. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. Our free newsletter that goes out on a weekly basis, you can sign up for by just following the simple instructions there on the homepage, dirtdoctor.com.